is your occupation? Where do you come from? And what is your country? What people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Verse 12. And he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that the great tempest is because of me. And once again, God will bless the reading and obedience to his word. So we mentioned last week that the book of Jonah is an historical book. The Lord verified its historicity because he made a reference to the fact that he was greater than Jonah. So the Lord attested to it. Scriptures speak about the ministry of the son of Jonah in 2 Kings. So we know he was a real person. It wasn't just an allegory, a symbolic story. You know, the allegory of the Pilgrim's Progress was a fictitious account written by John Bunyan, and it's got symbolism to it. But there's not symbolism here. There are pictures of truth, lessons for all of us in the faith, but this is an actual account that takes place. And I mentioned last week when I was here that you could take the book of Jonah and break it down into four parts. Chapter one would be Jonah is the running prophet. He gets this direction from the Lord, and he, the only prophet in the Old Testament, who ran away from the commission that God had given to him. God specifically said to Jonah, I want you to do this. And he went the opposite direction. All the other prophets we see in the Old Testament, they followed through on it, but not Jonah. And so there are some lessons, of course, that come out of that. Chapter 2, which we'll be looking at in this message today, talks about Jonah as the praying prophet. What happens when some believer backslides and turns away from the Lord and goes the opposite direction? How does God deal with an individual like that, a true believer who knows the Lord? How does the Lord deal with that? Well, we'll see that very soon as we look at chapter 2. Then chapter 3, we have Jonah coming back again to where he was from the very start. God had said to him, I want you to preach to the Ninevites. He went through all that experience to come back up on land to start all over again. And indeed he does. And at chapter 3, which we'll look at next week, will be Jonah the preaching prophet. And then finally, when he is preaching and he's successful in his preaching, people turn. Jonah is still complaining all the way, both before and afterwards. And so even though God used Jonah in a powerful way, Jonah was the complaining prophet. And there's a lot of lessons for you and for me in this whole portion. You know, we asked a question last week, and this is something really to consider about. Why was Jonah's response to go to those who were contrary to him? And why is it that way for us? Why, if God says, make disciples of all nations and go out and preach the gospel to every creature, why aren't we quick to do that? When I was a new Christian, that was a common thing for us to do. You got to be a witness to your workplace people, to family members who don't know the Lord. You know, you need to talk about the Lord. And a lot of people understood their responsibility in the gospel to do that. Seems a lot less these days for some reason. Maybe it's because we're fearing rejection. Maybe we're just thinking, okay, I want to be liked and I want to, you know, be appreciated and everything else that goes with that. And maybe that's the reason why we don't take the gospel to the people across the street or next to us or wherever it might be. It might just be the fear of rejection. Or it might be because we despise those who are different. They might have a different lifestyle. They may have different ways of doing things in life, let's say. And we despise that, and we look at that and say, no, I don't want to talk to that drunkard. I don't want to be involved with that person involved in a certain lifestyle. They're getting what they deserve, we might think. And yet, God tells us to love the sinner, hate the sin. And so we have a responsibility to make sure that we're doing that. And then, also, we may be a little worried about harm that may come to us. The Assyrians, who Jonah was commissioned by the Lord to go teach and talk to these Ninevites, the inhabitants of Nineveh, a great city in Babylon, maybe he was fearing personal harm that would take place. And so maybe that was one of the reasons. Maybe you fear personal harm. If you take the gospel into the city and witness there in the city, maybe you'll fear that as well. And so there could be a whole bunch of reasons why people don't bring the gospel to those around us. And we can be like John and James, the Apostle James and the Apostle John. And Luke chapter 9 and verse 54, you see the screen, hopefully you do, the words on the screen. When they didn't get the message received by the Samaritans, they said to the Lord, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy these people that don't receive the message that we give?" Do you know what the Lord's response was to those two people, James and John, who became disciples? He says, "You don't realize what spirit you speak of, the spirit of destruction. You know, you don't go with us, we're going to wipe you out." That was basically what John and James were talking about. And the Lord says, no, that's not the way to handle it. So there might be reasons why, any one of those reasons, why we might not bring the gospel to people around us just like Jonah didn't. Well, I want to pick up now from verse 5. This is where we left off last week. Verse 5 of chapter 1. The mariners were afraid. Every man cried to his God, threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Now, we mentioned last week that the course of Jonah, we saw first the commission of Jonah, then the course of Jonah, and now we see the condition of the mariners. And they're crying out. And Jonah, of all this time, he's gone down into the lowest parts of the ship. He started out getting that call and commission, and he went down to the port at Tarshish to go to catch that boat going to Tarshish, which is in Spain, the area of Spain. He then gets down into the boat, and now we see him in the bottom of the boat. And not only do we see that little phrase, gone down or went down, symbolizing Jonah's spiritual direction, down, 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 down. We also see it in chapter 2, and specifically in verse 6. He had gone down, he went down. And the course of disobedience from the Lord, when the Lord tells us to do something, is inevitably downhill all the time. As a matter of fact, it's very costly. And we mentioned this again last week, that when the mariners were seeing all this, they're in crisis, they're in confusion. Meantime, Jonah has gone down into the lowest parts of the boat. And it says here in verse 5, he's fast asleep. Fast asleep. While the mariners are frantically working to try to correct the situation, rectify the situation, to save their lives, where is Jonah? Well, all this time, Jonah is asleep, tucked away in the hull of the ship, seeking his own comfort. Now, how is that like us? You may not want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But a lot of times we can be guilty of being indifferent to the cares and concerns of people around us. Like Jonah. Jonah could have been praying. He could have been giving them encouragement. He could have been guiding them, directing them, but no, he's down in the bottom of the boat, tucked away, again, in the hull of the ship. And so he is seeking his own comfort. And the question I have to ask myself, am I more interested in my own comfort, my own enjoyment of things, while others are going through crises? Maybe there are people that you're aware of, associated with, neighbors, family members, who are going through particular crises in their life. Maybe it's a personal health issue, financial issue, whatever it might be. They're going through depression, anxiety, whatever it might be. Are you aware of their situation? Are you offering a word of concern or sharing scripture that might be able to address their situation? You know, a lot of people are softened to the gospel when they're going through a particular problem. So this is why we need to be on top of it quickly and be kind of the Johnny on the spot to share scripture with those who might be going through problems. Well, Jonah was asleep in the hull of the ship. I think I made mention to this last week. Sorry about the cough here. I got this little allergy going. But I mentioned last week that when I was a new believer, I was asked to moderate. That's why you have to be careful about laying hands on a novice suddenly. And I was asked to minister in Mark chapter 1. And it's the account of the Lord Jesus being in the boat with the disciples, and the Lord Jesus is there sleeping in a boat. And I said, it's just like Jonah. He was asleep in a hull of ship, and a brother, older brother, came to me and said, you know, never make the equivalent to the Lord Jesus with Jonah. And so we don't want to do that. Jonah here is in the midst of disobedience, and he's not following the Lord. And he's running away from the Lord. And when you run away from the Lord, you disregard the word of the Lord, you're going to have a spirit of indifference. And that's what's happening here with Jonah. He's in the hull of a ship while other people are frantically trying to fix the situation. And notice here what happens. It says in verse 6 that the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." This is the voice of the unsaved person who doesn't know what to do, and he's saying, listen, you have the answers. In the world around us, they may not agree with our stance in the gospel. They may not want to abide by the Bible. But truth be told, they look at you and me, and they can say, you know, I think you have the answers. I had that happen to me a number of times. When I was a new believer, I remember somebody coming to me and they were having some particular issue in their family. And even though they weren't Christians, and I knew they weren't Christians, and they knew they weren't Christians, they were still coming to me for advice. What would you do? What does the Bible say about this? What does God say about that? And so people are often open to hearing the words of the gospel, the words of Scripture, when they're going through a tough time. And here this captain is saying, call out to your God, and perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish. Open opportunity to share the word of God with people in need. And that's what Jonah is going through right here. He had that opportunity, and yet he didn't do it because he's fast asleep. So, let me ask you a question. Are you alert? Are you awake to the opportunities? Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that we should, those who sleep, you should be alert and you should awake and rise from the dead. Christ shall give you light. For many Christians, we can be like Peter. When the Lord is praying, we're sleeping. When the Lord is interceding, like the Lord was in Luke's gospel, the believers, like Peter and like the other disciples, are fast asleep. Kind of just missing it. Luke chapter 9 talks about the disciples being on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says that the Lord began to pray, and his garments became glistening, and his countenance began to glow. He was showing his kingdom glory to his disciples. And what happened to his disciples? They were fast asleep. So we've talked about this and thought about this just in this past week. We were, as you know, having this week-long conference we call Devotion at the Ocean. And we are looking at the different sleep experiences of believers. Here is one, Jonah, fast asleep, when he should have been serving. Peter was fast asleep when he should have been praying. And the other disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, fast asleep when they should have been focused in on the Lord. And it's a situation in life. I know people who have had health conditions and sleep apnea and that type of thing, and I'm very thankful for them to be in the meeting. We have Brother Russ Emmett, and some of you, of course, know Addie Miller, the husband of Elizabeth Miller, was for some time associated with this meeting, then at Bethany Bible Chapel. And, you know, the times that Russ Emmett, who was a trucker, would come into the meeting, he'd be there like a ramrod sitting there straight up because he was trucking all night long. Very grateful for Russ being in the meeting. But he was able to sleep standing straight up. And if you were from behind him, look at it, you'd think he was paying quick attention to everything the speaker was speaking. And yet he'd be sitting there, still as could be, fast asleep. I was still thankful for him being there. He could have stayed home. But it's a reminder to us to make sure that we're not sleeping when we should be praying, sleeping when we should be studying. Like Eutychus, he was asleep on the third loft and he fell asleep and fell down and was taken up dead. Even when the great apostle Paul was preaching, he was sleeping. Now he had heat up in the higher areas and it was midnight. Good thing it's not midnight here, but people sleep in the morning, they sleep at night. The point is, it's easy for believers to not be engaged and listening to what the Scripture is saying, because God may be speaking to you through these verses. And that's why we need to be aware and engaged. And so here is Jonah. He is indifferent to the cares and concerns of those that were around us, around him, rather. Notice what it says here in these following verses. It says that in verse 8, they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you?" And he said, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them that. And they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" And the sea was growing worse and worse, more tempestuous. Verse 13 specifically, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they grew more tempestuous against them." So what happens after that? Well, this is the condition of the mariners. From there, we see the conversion of the mariners. Because notice, the captain is calling out, saying to Jonah, "Call upon your God to do this work." What happens? And of course, the mariners are part of that. It says in verse 14, "Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you.'" What happened here? It looks like these mariners became believers. Because remember, they all called upon their own God to help them out, and their own God couldn't help them out. But what happens at this point? It says clearly that they called upon the Lord. Now, if you look closely in your Bible, you'll see that word "Lord," right, is in all capital letters. L-O-R-D. All small capital letters. In the Hebrew, that's the English Bible's way of saying, in the Hebrew language, which is what this was written as, it's the word Jehovah. And that's how it's connoted by these small capital letters. Jehovah means the God who has an interest in people, personal interest in people. God, G-O-D, is the fact that God creates the heavens and the earth and the stars also. You know, this is the powerful God, Elohim. But when God has an interest in people, the Scriptures communicate that by putting L-O-R-D in small capital letters. That means he's the God who loves people and is interested in every care and concern that they have. And when these mariners are first calling upon their God, small G-O-D, and now they're calling upon Jehovah, L-O-R-D, small capital letters, they're saying, "We have a relationship with him." So there are many that look at these mariners and say they went from the condition of a crisis to a condition of conversion. That they came to trust the Lord, verified by the fact that they offered sacrifices and offerings. Now, how do they know what to do there? Jonah must have explained things. There must have been more in that conversation than what we have recorded right here in chapter 1. But it says they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they took vows. So this is a transformation that has taken place in the lives of these mariners. Their call brought about their deliverance, verses 14 and 16. The confirmation of that change is verified by the fact that they were offering sacrifices and took vows and thanked the Lord for that. Now, how they responded to Jonah's request, his hypocritical comment, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and dry land." He didn't fear the Lord at all. He was running from the Lord. He thought he was going to escape from the presence of the Lord. He didn't. But here he is, calling out to have them throw him into the sea. Tremendous. Now, how do you work that all through in your theology? I don't know, but The point is, Jonah would rather fight against the Lord than change his mind. He could have said, I'm all wrong here. I didn't do the right thing. I repent, and let's pray and ask God to do away with this storm. He could have done that. Instead, he dug in his heels and he said, throw me overboard, because the reason for this tempest is because of me. You know, that just shows you that even Christians, believers, who know better, can dig their feet in and not want to let the Lord deal with our issues in our life. That's why, you know, you can never run out of things to say from the scriptures here. Because even believers sometimes can be more stubborn than the unsaved. Look at these mariners. They call out to the Lord instantly after they had called out to their own God, and they were changing quickly. Jonah, instead, he doesn't want to give up his own selfish way. God had more problems with Jonah than he had with the mariners. Isn't that amazing? That's how it is. Sometimes believers can be familiar with the word and settle down and create their own idea of what they think life should be, even as believers, and not let the Lord speak to their hearts. And that's where you and I both have to be familiar with the scriptures and say, Lord, speak, for your servant hears. What is God saying to you today? What lessons do you need to hear to move you to become a fruitful believer in Christ? That's what we need to be considering as we think this portion through. Well, we want to make sure we include the verses in chapter 2 for today. So let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, it says that Jonah, let me just look at verse 17. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. How can that happen? Well, it happened. The Bible says it, and so we don't argue it. God says it occurred 3 days and three nights. The Lord verified that with his comments, and so we don't challenge it. And so they threw him over. Now, how far he went down in the ocean before the fish swallowed him, we don't know. The wording of chapter 2 makes it sound like he went really low down in the water. But this fish came by that God had prepared and swallowed up Jonah. And so while he is in the darkness of the fish's belly, it says here in verse 1 that Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. So here we see Jonah as the praying prophet. And what lessons do we come up with? Here's the first lesson. Often we pray only when we're in trouble. You know, that's the problem. We should be praying and keeping in touch all the time, keeping our short accounts with the Lord. But you know what? We don't really pray as much as we should. And a lot of times we pray only when we're in trouble. And so that's why God sends trials our way. Did you ever think about that? Trials are sent our way to keep us close to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that if need be, you're in manifold trials, you're in heaviness. Why is that? Because the Lord knows that we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. We're prone to go away from the things of the Lord. If it weren't for some activities in church, or if it weren't for other people having a care and interest, who knows where we would drift off to. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, we should take the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's easy for us to slip in terms of our grasp of spiritual truth. And so that's why God sends trials to keep us close to Him. David said, when I am afflicted, I am overwhelmed. And so God wants to help us with our being overwhelmed. He allows trials to come in and draw us closer to Him. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. The verse and the reference in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and 19 and 20 is Jehoshaphat. Two times he goes through conflicts. The first time he's not even thinking about conflict, and he enters into the midst of this conflict, and it's only then that he calls out to the Lord when the Syrians, an enemy nation, is surrounding Jehoshaphat, that's when he calls out in prayer. That's like you and me. It's after we are going through a problem that we call out. In chapter 20, he hears a report about enemy nations around, and he goes to prayer first before he gets involved in the conflict. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying and be in touch with the Lord and walking close with Him. And when we do that, maybe a lot of the things that we experience wouldn't even actually happen. So the one lesson, often we pray only when we're in trouble. Another lesson that we come away with from this portion, chapter 2, is we can pray anywhere. Look at Jonah. He's praying in the belly of this great fish. Some people might think, okay, the only place you pray is in a building. Some people only feel they can pray when they're in the presence of a person that tells them, I'll pray for you. We have, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 4, access to the throne of grace, where we can find grace to help in time of need. That's the wonderful thing about the scripture. That's why I'm so thankful when I was a new Christian being taught the Word of God through Bible study, through the platform, that we don't rely on a human intermediary, a go-between, to talk to the God of heaven. You can do that directly because of the access that we have by faith. And so that's a wonderful truth. So no matter where you are, no matter what condition you're in, look at Jonah here. He's disobedient. And God is disciplining him and chastising him with having this fish swallow him. So he is the disobedient, backslidden believer. And yet he's calling out to the Lord. And it says right here in verse 2, he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. That's what caused him to get back to praying. Then he wasn't praying when he was on the ship. He said, and he answered me. God answered this disobedient, backslidden believer. Because God says, you call to me and I'll listen. That's what God says. So we may be in attendance in any meeting of the church. We may look the part. We may sound the part. But your heart might be filled with turmoil. And God says, you call out to me for any need that you have. And that's another lesson we come away with here in chapter 2. There's a third lesson. I have five. There's a third lesson. Prayer helps us to make the connection with the events that occur to us and why they happened. This is what happened with Jonah. Look what happened here in verse 3. He says, Jonah, in his prayer, now get the context, he's in the belly of the great fish. He's not sitting by lamplight, okay, reading the Bible. He's in this belly of this great fish, and it's dark, and it's messy, and smelly, and it's dirty, and everything else. And he says, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Now, who threw him in the water? The mariners did. But Jonah, through prayer, understands it's the unseen hand of God that threw him into the water and created all these events. The mature Christian, the one who reads the Bible, sees the hand of God at work, moving situations and circumstances that affect our lives. We think it's this person did this, or that person did that, or said this, or said that, when really it's the voice of God speaking through that person. You know, that's what happened. David said that many times. I perceive that this is the voice of God. When a human person was talking to him, he heard those words and he says, this is God speaking through this person. And that's why we encourage one another. We should be encouraging each other with scripture during the Lord's Day or any other time during the course of the week. And sharing the Bible verse, that'd be an encouragement. You know, if you've ever been on the receiving end of that, you can sense this is God speaking to me through this person. They may not even realize it. And God is using them in that special way. And Jonah here is acknowledging the fact that the billows and the waves, that's the wind and the waves coming over him, were really not just the sea, but God's judging, chastising hand upon his disobedient servant. He's acknowledging this. In so many words, he's saying, I'm running away from you, God, but you didn't let me go. You have a care and interest in me. He says in verse 4, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Verse 5, the waters surrounded me, even to my soul, the deep closed around me. Reeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, and earth with bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord God. This is Jonah calling out to God and speaking to him. And how is Jonah doing this? He's doing this from scripture that he previously studied. He's not in a Bible class right now. He's in the belly of the great fish. So every time you study, every time you come to a meeting like this, every time you hear the words of scripture being spoken, it's a way in which that word is getting registered and getting into your data bank. So that when you are in a situation, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit highlights what you have learned. You have to learn it to be able to have the Holy Spirit bring it up and highlight what occurred. And this is what happened. And so in these verses, I think I have it listed down here. Let me just see here if I have that. Yes. Lesson 4, previous Bible verses came back when, they'll come back to us when we are being chastened or disciplined by the Lord. So Psalm 42, verse 3 is what's cited in verse 3 of this chapter. Psalm 69, verse 5 is what's cited in verse 5 of this chapter. And in Psalm 30, verse 3 is cited in this chapter. The word of God will not return void, accomplish that which it pleases. So every time you come under the sound of the word, the teaching of the word, it gets in there somehow. You may not be abiding by it necessarily, but it's in there. But when your heart is softened through the hand of the Lord, all of a sudden it's amazing how these verses come back again. And that's why we need to always come under the sound of God's word, teaching of the word. That's what's happening here with Jonah. He is quoting, without a lamp in his belly of the great fish, without a Bible in hand, he's able to bring these verses up from the same Psalms that you and I have in his book. And we're talking about almost 3,000 years ago that Jonah lived. And he was familiar with Psalm 42, Psalm 69, Psalm 30. Are you familiar with Psalm 30? And Psalm 69, and Psalm 42. And Jonah was very familiar with it. The same Bible verses that you have access to, he had access to. And he had them hidden in his heart. And yet he sinned against the Lord. But now he was coming back. The final point, our final minute here, lesson 5. When Jonah finally repented, his circumstances changed. How do I get out of this trial, Lord? Get me out of this situation. Get me off this merry-go-round. You know, I want to get out of this. What's one way we can accomplish that? Well, if it's because of the chastising, disciplining hand of the Lord, best thing to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And that's what Jonah did. He repented. He says in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And he says in verse 8, I love the King James Version, those who regard lying vanities, worthless idols, which is what he did, forsake their own mercy. He's saying this is an axiom, this is a truth. Lord, I listen to my own self-talk and my own counsel rather than your counsel. And I went the opposite direction that I should not have gone. And Jonah acknowledged it. And so he says, I will sacrifice to you, Lord, with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay with what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what Jonah says. And as soon as he says that and comes to that verbal confession, Lord, I did the wrong thing, guess what happened? He got burped up on the beach. Jonah did. And that's the other miracle. Remember last week we talked about 10 different miracles, at least, that are cited here in Jonah. He didn't get burped up in the middle of the ocean. He got burped up on dry land to start all over again because he had repented. Because he had come back to the Lord. Here is this disobedient prophet, this reluctant prophet, who's running from the Lord, who prays it through, and then he comes back on land to start all over again. And maybe there is that hidden sin. We have a presumptuous sin. The scripture talks about presumptuous sin. Sometimes we're guilty of it. It can be a hiding sin. And things are not quite going the way we want them to go in life for some, whatever reason. And the Lord may be speaking to you. And what he wants you to do is make sure you're connecting with him. And so are you connecting with the Lord? Are you in touch with him? Are you asking for his direction? That's some of the lessons that come to us clearly from the book of Jonah. And we trust the Lord will speak to each one of our hearts about that very thing. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we pray for your help and your blessing in the ministry of the word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will highlight those things that we need to hear specifically, personally, for ourselves, that you might speak to us, and that we might have the joy of knowing that we're in the center of your will. We ask these things, giving thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.